Blog Talk Radio.
Need a little 3-in-1 oil there. No. Leave that squeak right where it is. Good evening. Welcome to Eerie House Radio. I'm Dale Kay from Spook Show, accompanied by
Ben Baker from Witness Bad Movie and Spaceship One and in the driver's seat.
Hey, it's Mike Mace trying to figure out where I'm supposed to go.
So we'll be going in a lot of circles here, but we're here.
On Spaceship One, you're the navigator. I'm the pilot, aren't you?
Sure.
We're lost in space, but that was a whole different show.
Yes.
William.
Oh, the pain.
Well, you've heard him sing.
Yes, he has.
Yeah. So, lost in space, you say.
Oh, no, that's the song.
Oh, goodness. never fails. Not a dry eye in the house. As we prepare to put the final stamp of approval on this weekend.
It's interesting you find enough stories about stamps. Of course, people are killing each other over some of these stamps. But, boy, tonight, it's some of the same. You never know. There's always a murder or two in mystery theater, it seems.
Yep, and tonight's story, no different. Stamped for Death, another tale of the Philadelphia. Delightly? I don't know. Politely,
yeah.
I believe it's called.
Politely? Oh, yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
You know what's odd is probably one of the most honest people in this particular episode is a lawyer. Yeah, figure out how many times that happens.
This is
obviously
clearly fiction. Clearly fiction.
Clearly fiction.
Hmm.
Yeah, I know quite a few lawyers. I only half trust a couple.
Yeah. I've run into a few good ones. And not by accident. Tonight's story, written and directed, of course. directed and produced, of course, by Hyman Brown.
Yeah, we'll get into him. I have a book that was given a nice little chapter on Hyman Brown and the amazing things he did in old-time radio. But that will be for another program.
Indeed. A lot to talk about there. That guy had an extensive career. And he assembles a good cast for tonight. As we have a tale of two young fellows coming into a stamp collection.
Yeah.
Two brothers. Jealousy,
yeah,
maybe?
Yeah, it sounds exciting, huh?
Well,
they get 3 acts out of it. There must be something going on.
That's right. And this one has a great air date. Oh, my goodness. It's from Valentine's Day, 1977, February 14th, originally, and rebroadcast again on June 11th of the same year. Here's part one of Stamped for Death.
Okay, everybody, Old Man Warner's gone home.
Great. When will it be tonight? A dogfight between the Red Baron and Eddie Rickenbacker?
Nah, we did that last week. How about a daring night bombing raid on the oil fields at Ploesti with B-26?
I'm tired of propeller jobs. What about a little jet jockey?
Or a vintage air race? How long's it been since you flew a Curtis seaplane?
Don't be funny. We can't take a seaplane off inside the Burian Hobby Center.
Well, we could if we flood the floor. All right, everybody.
When Bob Warner locks up for the night, the Burian Hobby Center really starts jumping. With such a terrific selection of airplane models, it just had to happen. They're just too realistic to stay silent all night long. Now, I won't swear to it, but some mornings, all those tiny scale model pilots look a little tired, and there's a hint of a vapor trail up near the ceiling. The Burian Hobby Center. More airplanes than most air forces have in stock.
Jolly good show.
What?
All right, gentlemen, man your plane. Now, remember the ground rules. No dive bombing the Lionel train display, and keep out of the craft section. Don't want to get tangled in the macrame. And one of us has got to keep a lookout in case Bob Warner comes back before morning. Hey, would you move those model car kits? I haven't got enough room to take off.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... I'm E.G. Marshall. We all know the phrase brotherly love, used to express strong ties of affection. But actual brothers may be bitter enemies. Is it because they are so different, or because they are so much alike that their ties are twisted into a tangled web of misunderstanding, a form of self-hatred rather than love, with the shortcomings of one blamed upon the other? Acting together, their power for evil can be devastating, especially when antagonisms are passed on from one generation to the next.
If anything would happen to me, Jerry, what would you do?
Well, I'd go ahead with a sale, of course, and claim the inheritance.
Well, no, not all of it. You can't.
Now, don't worry, Gordon. Nothing's going to happen.
But, Jerry, if it does, promise me you'll take care of my family.
Look, I don't have any obligation whatever to your wife and kids.
Please, Jerry. Promise. I'm scared. Something's happening to me. I can't breathe.
Our mystery drama, Stamped for Death, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Elizabeth Pennell and stars Lloyd Batista and Russell Horton. It is sponsored in part by General Electric Citizen Band Radios and Buick Motor Division. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
Save money during this cold weather. Give your fireplace and furnace some attention. I'm Gene King with some tips from the Council of Better Business Bureaus. Be sure the flue to your fireplace is closed when it isn't in use. An open flue just draws the heat right out of your house. Be sure your storm windows and doors fit snugly. Keep your thermostat turned down. And here's a safety tip. Never try to relight a pilot light unless you know the proper technique. If you don't, call a service company.
In her world, starvation, disease, and despair were facts of life. Now, thanks to Foster Parents Plan, she goes to school with clean clothes and enjoys decent food and medical care, benefits shared by her whole family. Become a foster parent for just $19 a month. You may change the way you feel about the world, about yourself. Write for information to Foster Parents Plan, Box 402A, Warwick, Rhode Island, 02887.
Pete Gross and Cairo News Radio 7.
What has helped make news radio a successful format is the fact that people now in our society, a lot of them live a little bit farther out of town than they used to. They don't have time in the morning, a lot of them, to get up and sit down for 15 or 20 minutes or half hour and go through page by page the morning newspaper, which I used to do when I was growing up. But times have changed, and I think that people that want to go to work and don't have time to read the paper in the morning probably, you know, get up, take a shower, eat breakfast, run out the door, jump in their car and flip on Cairo News Radio, and they hear in 15, 20 minutes or a half hour a capsule summary of all the news that's gone on in the last, say, 24 hours.
Pete Gross and Cairo News Radio 7. Just like hearing it from friends.
George Taylor was a stern and taciturn man who was never close to either of his two sons, although he seemed to favor his younger son, Jeremy. If he ever shared his true feelings with anyone, it was his wife. But he had been a widower for some years, and today, if anyone knew anything about his personal affairs, that would be his lawyer. Now George Taylor is dead, and his sons have returned to the Midwestern town of their youth to attend his funeral. Although they arrived from opposite directions, they are now together, waiting impatiently in the lawyer's outer office.
Come in, Gordon. Jeremy, it's been a long time.
I want to know why my father's house is locked. No one met me at the plane, and you didn't tell me where to get the key.
I had my instructions. I thought you might stay with your uncle. Have you been in touch with him?
No. Did you call him, Gordon?
I haven't talked to Uncle Morgan in years.
Well, I left a message, but his wife said he might not be able to come.
Well, what's the matter with him?
Well, your uncle's a very old man.
Don't tell me Dad left something to Uncle Morgan.
Well, since the other party has already been informed, we might as well...
Just a minute. What other party?
I will proceed with the reading of the will.
That's what we're here for.
I, George Taylor, being of sound and disposing mind, declare this to be my last will and testament. First, I bequeath my house and its contents to Miss Agnes Bodwell.
What?
Agnes who?
Agnes Bodwell. She's a registered nurse.
A nurse? Oh, you said Father died suddenly. Healthiest man I ever knew all his life. Who the devil is
Miss
this?
Miss Bodwell took care of your mother years ago when she was bedridden.
Well, I'll be damned.
Where is this Miss... what's her name?
Now, she's been called away on a case and won't be able to attend the funeral.
What about the house?
She hasn't had time to decide what to do with it.
Who cares about that old house? I don't want it.
You please, read on.
To my brother, Morgan, I leave a single stamp, the one known as the Brattleboro Eagle. He will know what to do with it.
A single stamp? Oh, that's rich. Shows what Dad thought of Uncle Morgan.
Perhaps he thought more of him than I would have guessed.
What do you mean?
Well, your father was a stamp collector.
Well, of course he was a collector. But what good is one stamp?
I understand there are rarities. Oh, some stamps are valued at $50,000, $75,000 apiece.
You're kidding.
Well, keep reading. I'm the eldest son, and I want to know what my father left me.
Yeah, and you can skip the legal mumbo-jumbo.
And he goes on to say there's enough money in his executor's account to cover funeral and burial expenses and to clear any outstanding debts.
And who is the executor?
I am.
That follows. Well, go on. Get to the substance of his will.
Yeah, what about stocks and bonds or whatever else he had by way of investments?
Well, that I don't know.
You don't know?
Your father was a very secretive man.
Even with his lawyer?
With everyone.
Look, you haven't finished reading the will. Now where do his heirs come in?
I'm getting to that. The remainder of my estate I leave to my two sons, Gordon and Jeremy. It is sealed in a case which has been turned over to my executor for safekeeping.
Ah, that must be the stock certificates and bank books.
In witness thereof, I have hereunto set my hand and sealed it...
Oh, look, forget all that. Where are these important papers?
Well, I have no knowledge of the contents of the case, but I do have the key.
Where is it?
Right here. My instructions are to unlock the container in the presence of both of you.
So what are we waiting for?
Oh, I can't do anything more today.
Well, in the name of heaven, why not?
Because it's in a vault at the bank, and the bank closed at 3:00.
Well, when does it open?
9:00 tomorrow morning. I'll pick up the case and take it to you. Now, where will you be?
Well, I'm staying with relatives of my wife. Here's the address.
Oh, no, you don't. Not with a bunch of people looking on. We'll meet in my hotel room.
Where's that damn fool lawyer? What time is it?
10:50. We should... Hello? Yes. Yes. Send him right up.
Do you think this lawyer is on the level? What if he's pulling a fast one?
That thought occurred to me. But you know how crazy cautious Dad was about the people he did business with.
Well, just suppose our fine executor removed a few items
Don't start imagining things. The certificates will have our names on them. And he wouldn't...
I'll get it.
Come in. Ooh, wow. It's a whopper, isn't it?
Yeah, it's heavy, too. It feels as if it were full of books.
I thought you meant a briefcase. That's practically a trunk.
It's a suitcase, actually. And you see, it's sealed with tape as well as lock.
Well, here goes. Let's rip the tape off.
Come on. Where's the key?
I have it right here. I feel like the male counterpart of Pandora.
There. Just a bunch of folders.
I'll take that gray one.
Hi, George, there are books in there.
Wait a minute. There's nothing in this folder but stamps. Sheets and sheets of them.
The other stuff must be at the bottom.
This book is filled with stamps, too. Colorful, aren't they?
Yeah, I'm only interested in one color, green.
Don't be stupid. Dad wouldn't stash away folding money.
Well, there's got to be something more. Look in the pockets for bank books.
I felt all along the sides and inside the top. Keep looking through those folders.
Yeah. Nothing but crummy sheets of stamps.
I don't think you're going to find anything else.
You said you didn't know what was in here.
I didn't. But your father told me not long ago that he had consolidated all his holdings.
Well, then where are they? He had stocks and bonds. I know he did. And a large bank account.
At one time, maybe. But it looks to me as though he converted everything into his stamp collection.
What a dirty trick.
Not with all these unused stamps in perfect condition. You may have inherited a sizable fortune.
How much do you think?
Well, I'm no stamp collector. I wouldn't have the slightest idea, and I don't know anyone in this town who would.
Well, then I'll take them back to New York with me. The big city will have several stamp appraisers. I'll find out who's the best.
Nothing doing. As the eldest son, I'll take charge of this suitcase.
Don't you touch it.
I can find an appraiser just as well as you can. There must be plenty in Southern California.
I think you'd be better off in New York. Down by Wall Street on Nassau, there's a whole city block full.
So it's settled. I'm taking them with me.
Not unless I come along. I'll change my plans and fly back east with you.
Well, then I'll keep the case right here for the night.
I wouldn't trust you alone with it for 5 minutes.
Well, what do I know about stamps?
You know enough to remove something which might look tempting.
We could divide these folders up right now. Half for you, half for me.
Well, you'll be sorry if you do. I imagine it's the total collection that would have the highest value.
Well, when do we leave?
I'm booked on the first flight out after the funeral tomorrow. 3:00 in the afternoon.
Well, my mission is complete as far as you two men are concerned. I'll be leaving.
Not without the suitcase.
Well, I don't understand.
You see, I don't trust my brother Gordon any more than he trusts me. So you keep the stamps overnight and then bring them to us at the airport tomorrow.
Are you quite sure your flight hasn't been canceled?
Yeah, seems to be right on schedule.
Yeah, what I thought with all those hurricane warnings on the East Coast...
Doesn't mean a thing to these big jets.
Well, I'm glad to see the last of this suitcase. Here you are.
Oh, thanks.
Thank you.
Incidentally, they won't let you take it along on board the plane. It's too big for hand luggage.
I'll check it through on my ticket.
No, you won't. I have almost no luggage, and I'll check it out on mine.
All right, snap out of it, boys. Am I still the family arbiter? All right, here, I'll toss a coin. Your call, Gordon.
Heads.
Tails. Suitcase goes on your ticket, Jeremy.
He always did get the breaks. Jerry, I just thought of something.
Don't bother me. I'm trying to sleep.
But I just thought, what if Uncle Morgan really got the best of the deal?
Well, how could he?
Well, if that one stamp is so valuable, maybe that's where all Dad's money went.
Impossible.
Now, what makes you so sure?
I told you, he cleaned up in that big oil deal.
You cleaned up on it, too, didn't you?
I never cleaned up on anything. Believe me, I'm just as poor as you are. So will you shut up and let me get some sleep?
Sign.
Jerry, wake up.
What do you want now?
Fasten your seatbelt.
Why? Are we getting ready to land?
Well, not yet, but the stewardess made an announcement.
Oh, where is she? Stewardess, I'd like a cup of coffee.
Sorry, not right now, sir. We're experiencing a little turbulence.
Oh, must have slept longer than I thought. It's pitch black out there.
Except for the lightning. We've hit some really rotten weather. I don't like it, Jerry. You know, I just thought of something else.
Oh, what is it now?
Is that suitcase insured?
Well, I didn't insure it. You should have thought of that before we left.
How could I? Anyway, we don't know the value.
Well, relax. We'll soon know what it's worth.
Please be sure your seatbelts are fastened and observe the no smoking sign.
What the devil's going on?
Hey, Gordon, will you take it easy?
Ladies and gentlemen, your captain has asked me to assure you there's no cause for alarm.
Jerry,
Jerry, where are your baggage checks?
Well, they're in my wallet.
Oh, show me where.
Oh, for Pete's sake.
Yeah, but what if something should happen?
What, to you or to me?
Either way, show me the baggage checks so that if I had to get...
Stop being morbid.
Suppose something happens to both of us.
Then I guess our friendly lawyer will be left holding the bag again.
And if something should happen to me... Promise you'll take care of my family.
Now, what makes you think a bachelor doesn't have responsibility?
Well, not like mine. Promise me you...
I don't have any obligation whatsoever to your wife and kids.
Ladies and gentlemen, your attention, please. Your captain is in full command. We can all cooperate by remaining calm.
Why doesn't the captain come on and tell us so himself?
I imagine he's too busy handling the plane.
How can you be so calm? Jerry, something's happening to me. I can't breathe.
We are coming in for an emergency landing. I repeat, we are forced to make an emergency landing. Should the plane become depressurized, the compartment over your head will open automatically. Take the oxygen mask and place it firmly over the mouth and nose.
Gordon, do what she says.
Look, promise me, Jeremy. Promise me that you...
Good Lord.
We're out of control. The plane is going to crash.
I don't want to frighten anyone with details of a plane crash. Actually, statistics prove that air travel is the safest means of modern transportation. And many a storm has been weathered with little more than a few moments of uneasiness. Nevertheless, our unloving brothers are in a situation ominous enough to terrify the bravest. We'll find out what happens when I return shortly with Act Two.
You dirty rat! You dirty rat!
Nobody does Cagney like Cagney. And now James Cagney tells his whole story in Cagney by Cagney, the gangster roles.
All right, you guys.
The song and dance parts.
Yankee Doodle went to town.
The stars.
Here's looking at you, kid.
They're all here in Cagney by Cagney, a tough, touching, witty, wisecracking autobiography. The inside dope on the street kid who grew up to be a star. Now in pocketbooks, Cagney by Cagney.
Get it, wherever paperbacks are sold.
Goodness. Gotta get me a copy right now.
If it's not out of print, yes. Boy, yeah, talking about sibling rivalry, my God. What a real story.
I know, right? It's like a family of crooks. Keep an eye on you.
Promise me you'll take care of my family. That's not my problem, man. Not my problem.
Sounds like my family.
As I said, it's a real story. I'm telling you.
Yep.
Oh, yes. My.
Hey, we've got a caller. I bet I know who it is. More than just a caller, I'd say. Welcome.
Oh, thank you very much. Are you able to hear me?
Yes. Thank you, CW.
Hello. I didn't see you signed into the forum, so I thought you left Dale all alone.
Yeah. No, not yet. Not yet. I'm actually, when we head into Act Two, I'm disappearing. So, one fun little fact about E.G. Marshall, he never ever told anybody what the E.G. stood for, because it's not his actual name. And when he was on a talk show, they asked him, and he said, it's for everybody's guess. And he actually did legally have his name changed to E.G. So, as Dale, as Gar, is always talking about changing, seriously legally changing names to Thaddeus Gar Gernstein. You know, hey, E.G. Marshall did it, so it's good enough for E.G. Marshall. It's good enough for Gar.
Yes, right.
Why not? Absolutely. I mean, I guess Vincent Fournier's legal name now is Alice Cooper.
Okay. So, I mean, Alice Cooper has to change his name then.
Well, you have
that's
Madonna.
Right.
You have Cher. Madonna, Cher. I suppose that's their legal names now. Makes sense.
Interesting you brought up Cher. I just saw a documentary on Cher. What an interesting person she is and the life she's lived. It's just amazing. absolutely amazing.
Oh, incredible.
Also
incredible.
The formerly living artist that was formerly known as Prince.
Oh, yes. Yes.
And then just known as some kind
legally, of... legally changed to that insignia.
Yeah. Well, as long as he got royalties, what did he care, right?
This is true. This is true. And there is a fellow who legally changed his name to Luke Skywalker.
Oh, good heavens.
Yeah.
If my kid did that,
that's for sure.
You know what? If my kid did that, you know what I'd say to him? I am not your father, Luke.
There you go.
That's what I do.
Hey, before I peel off of the stamp show here, a couple of stamp facts. See, the first postal stamps were not able to stick around the envelopes. People who literally had to sew stamps on when no paste or adhesive was available. Here's one that's great for Erie House. One of the most unique stamps, an Asian country, Bhutan, in 1973 printed stamps that could play native folk songs or their national anthem when it was placed on a record player. How's that for a stamp?
That is cool.
Cool. That is.
And do you guys know what the most popular U.S. postage stamp ever to be sold is?
Elvis Presley. I don't know.
Absolutely. Elvis Presley in 1993. The Elvis Presley stamp became the most popular U.S. postage stamp to be sold. An estimated 120 million copies were sold. So not only did the guy get a gold record for that, he got a gold record for stamps as well.
Wow.
Probably platinum.
Wow, I'm surprised. Hey, did they ever do a stamp of the Beatles?
Oh, they had to have. They've done a lot of... I don't know that for sure, but...
I don't know. Usually they all have to be gone.
Well,
I don't think George Harrison got a stamp. I'd be surprised if John Lennon didn't.
Yeah, I mean they. Do they? I mean, do they have to be all gone? Really?
They were supposed to immortalize someone who. Although they did have a program where you could stamps and have whatever you want put on them and become a forever stamp.
There you go.
It cost quite a bit. I know that John Oliver did it. He made a bunch of stamps that he was selling to everybody.
John Oliver? Who is that? Related to Oliver
Last,
or something?
John Oliver of Last Week Tonight on HBO.
Ah.
Oh, okay. Had to think about that for a second. Didn't
he's done
about...
a lot of things. He found a way around, and he created his own religion because he could, and some all kinds of crazy
could.
Things like that that they did just because they could. Somebody else did it, so they did too. You know.
That's true. I mean, there is officially the Church of the Dude, based on the Big Lebowski. That is a recognized church.
Mike Mace is a minister, and he can marry people because of that.
Yes.
Yes. So, yay, brethren, remember, the rug that brings the whole room together.
Live from the racetrack here at Erie House, we have Dave Binkley. CW has joined us. And we should probably get back to part two of our CBS Radio Mystery Theater Thriller, Stamped for Death. Mwah.
Catch the courier spirit. It's a pretty easy feeling. Courier's the gutsy one that can change his mind of wheeling.
If you're looking for a dynamite set of wheels, your Ford dealer's got what you want. The rugged Ford Courier. A gutsy little pickup with a new roomy cabin, options like a 5-speed shift, and a soft ride package. Or if you're looking for a tricked-up Courier, your Ford dealer can show you how. Add a zooming paint design, spoiler, sunroof, and watch heads turn. Or for a gutsy off-road machine, add a roll bar, brush guard, grab rails, and get away from it all. Straight or tricked up, Courier's got what it takes. See your Ford dealer and catch the Courier spirit.
are written for protection, but sometimes an inheritance causes more dissension than joy. We have yet to find out who will reap the benefit of George Taylor's estate, a stamp collection which could be of great value. His two sons were planning to turn it into cash when they got to New York, but did they reach their destination? You will recall that George Taylor had an older brother, Morgan, and by the terms of the will, this older brother inherited a single stamp, reputed to be a rarity. He's examining it right now while his wife does the breakfast dishes.
More coffee, Morgan?
No, thank you, dear. I'm fine.
Oh, wouldn't you know, my hands are wet. I'm coming. Hello? Who? Oh, yes.
Who is it?
Your brother's lawyer. You know, the man who brought you the stamp.
What he wants?
No, we never look at television in the morning. No, the radio's not on just now. Yes, we do have a newspaper, but we haven't gotten around to it yet. We save that for the afternoon.
Well, what is it, Martha? What's happened that's so important?
My goodness. Is that so? Oh, yes. Yes, I will. Well, thank you very much for calling.
Well, now, what was that all about? Does he want the stamp back?
No, nothing to do with your stamp.
Then what is it?
Your nephews. They've been in a plane crash.
What?
I thought that would get a rise out of you.
Martha, please, stop teasing. Have they been hurt?
No. Both escaped without a scratch. That's what the lawyer phoned to tell us.
Oh, thank goodness they're all right. Where's the morning newspaper? Let's find out what happened.
Oh, here it is, all over the front page.
Well, read it to me.
Jetliner, fly to New York. The plane was caught on the tail end of that big hurricane we heard about yesterday.
Oh, a really bad storm.
Uh-huh. And it goes on to say, emergency landings skillfully handled by the pilot. Courageous crew evacuated all passengers without a casualty.
Are the boys' pictures there?
No, but take a look at what was once the plane. It caught fire right after all the passengers escaped.
Think of that.
It says the mailbags burned up and every bit of baggage completely destroyed.
Oh, what difference does that make as long as no lives were lost?
My goodness, that telephone never seems to stop ringing. Ever since the boys were in that plane accident, people have been calling to talk to
me. Turned this into some sort of celebrity. Hurry up, Martha. Answer the phone.
Hello? Why, hello, Gordon. Yes, your uncle's here, but it's hard for him to get to the phone. May I give him the message?
I'll come if you just help me up out of this chair.
Yes, just a minute. Gordon's in town, and he wants to see you. Asks if he can come right over.
Well, of course. I'm not doing anything.
Yes, Gordon. Right away. Goodbye.
Neither of my nephews has set foot in this house for the last 10 years. I wonder what Gordon has on his mind.
It certainly was a relief to learn that you'd come to no harm, Gordon. But it must have been a terrible experience for both of you.
Yeah, you bet it was. But I'll come right to the point.
Yeah, I wish you would.
Uncle Morgan, how much money did my father have?
Well, that's a strange question for you to ask me. How would I know?
Well, you must have some idea.
Well, your father bragged to me once a long time ago that he was well on the way to becoming a millionaire.
Did you believe him?
He never discussed his personal affairs, but when your father made up his mind to get what he wanted...
But all that money, what became of it?
I was under the impression from your father's will that you and your brother inherited the bulk of his estate.
What we inherited was a collection of stamps.
Oh, you're lucky. Your father had a very valuable collection.
How valuable?
Why, his block of Colombian inverts alone would be worth, say, $20,000. And that one sheet of misprinted commemorative...
Uncle Morgan, I don't know anything about stamp collecting. You see, the entire collection burned in that plane crash.
Oh. Well, now, that does make a difference.
Darn right it makes a difference. Jerry and I are wiped out. Maybe you don't know that I was recently laid off, and I am completely broke.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Uncle Morgan, you're the only person I can turn to. You have to loan me some money. I've got to have money to live.
Well, so do we all.
Yeah, but you're comfortable. Look at this house.
Mortgage to the hilt.
I only want to borrow some money.
Your aunt and I get by just barely on Social Security and the interest on a few small investments. It's hardly enough to pay our monthly bills.
Look, there's no use beating around the bush. I happen to know that by the terms of my father's will, you were left a single stamp.
Oh, Gordon, you've upset him. Now, your uncle can't talk anymore.
He'll hear me out.
Not now. I will have to ask you to leave.
Uncle Morgan, you...
Now, that will be all, Gordon. Your uncle has had enough for one day.
I'll be back. You can count on it. I'll be back.
Morgan, are you all right?
Certainly, I'm all right.
Oh, thank heaven. You are a KG-1. You were putting on an act, weren't you?
Of course. And you did very well, too.
Morgan, you are going to sell the stamp that your brother left you, aren't you?
It all depends.
Well, it could make a great difference in our lives.
For better or worse, do you think?
Well, you know I've never complained.
I'm suspicious of my so-called inheritance. Why should my dear brother George think kindly of me for once in his miserable life?
Well, maybe he was trying to make up for the past.
He always did play me for a sucker. And his sons are nothing but chips off the old block.
Morgan, guess who phoned while you were taking a nap?
No need to tell me. I've been expecting to hear from my second nephew.
Jeremy will be here this afternoon.
Good. When he comes, bring him into my bedroom and I'll be working on my stamps.
How are you, Uncle Morgan?
Oh, well enough, I suppose. For sure. An old man.
Sure looks familiar seeing you with a stamp collection. I remember when I was a kid how you and Dad used to compare notes.
You're quite mistaken if you think we ever compared notes.
But you both collected stamps.
Well, I was never anything but a hobbyist. Your father was an investor. He always said I didn't know a damn thing about stamps.
Uncle Morgan, I'd like to see the stamp my father left you. Is it here?
No, it's been put away for safekeeping.
Oh, you mean it's not in the house?
I didn't say that. But my eyesight is not what it used to be, and I wouldn't want to get it mixed up.
Well, tell me where it is. I'll get it for you.
Oh, not now, Jeremy. Let's just have a visit. Tell me, how's your business doing?
Oh, my business. What a laugh. Uncle Morgan, the fact is, I need money, and I have a proposition to make to you.
I've already made it clear to your brother that I'm penniless, so don't ask me for a loan.
I know a way we can both benefit from the stamp my father left you.
Tell me.
Turn the stamp over to me, and I'll put it up as collateral for a business loan to tide me over. Then I'll give you your share of...
My share? Well, that stamp was left to me.
Well, sure, but you and Aunt Martha will have plenty of money to live on, and when I get on my feet, you'll have the stamp back. Don't you see?
That's a proposition I'd have to think about.
Why don't you think about it now?
Oh, in good time, Jeremy. That's enough for today. I'll get in touch with you when I've thought it over. Well, Gordon, you said you were going to talk to your lawyer. Have you come to any conclusion?
Well, I haven't been able to see him yet. But I'm convinced that my father was not in his right mind when he made his will.
Oh, what are you going to do?
Unless you agree to sell the stamp and give me my rightful share, I'm going to sue you.
in, Jeremy. What lovely flowers.
For a lovely lady, Aunt Martha.
Oh, thank you. I suppose you want to see your uncle.
No, not at all. I came especially to see you.
I can't believe this is strictly a social call.
Oh, but it is. I thought you and I could get together and do something nice for Uncle Morgan.
Oh, that's very thoughtful.
I realize that now he's mostly confined to his bed. You must be the family decision maker.
Morgan and I have always worked together.
Oh, it's only natural with someone his age. Uncle Morgan's mind works slowly. On the other hand, if you and I...
You want that stamp for collateral, don't you?
Exactly. Where is it, Aunt Martha?
Perhaps I shouldn't be doing this. But if we can do anything to make your Uncle Morgan more comfortable, I'll cooperate.
Well, you have the right idea. So, now, if you would give the stamp to me...
We've been keeping the package in this desk drawer.
I assure you, you will never regret this, Aunt Martha.
Here.
Martha!
Just a minute, Morgan.
Don't tell him I was here. I'll leave quietly.
Martha, can you come in here, please?
Old man, it worked. Just the way you said it would.
He fell for the whole scheme, huh?
Hook, line, and sinker.
wait till he opens the package and finds out there's nothing but a sheet of blank paper.
That worries me, Morgan. If Jeremy would go so far as to steal, then he might very well...
I bet you a nickel, Martha. That's the other one back to bother us.
Uncle Morgan, I'm fed up with all this stalling around.
I've been expecting to hear from your lawyer, Gordon. You did mention legal steps.
Yeah, he said the suit is inadvisable. And I'm tired of waiting for you to sell that stamp.
In all my life, I've never acted in haste.
You're just like my father, with absolutely no concern for me.
Now, take it easy, Gordon.
I always got the short end of the stick. No one ever paid any attention to what I wanted.
I'd appreciate it if you'd stop shaking my
Uncle
bed.
Uncle Morgan, I could kill you for the way you...
Hey, you're hurting my arm.
Gordon, stop it. Get away from your uncle's bed. Hey, you leave this house at once. Are you sure you're all right?
Yes. He didn't hurt me.
Oh, but the coughing fit. You aren't putting it on this time, are you?
No, Martha, no. I feel better now.
I'm going to call the doctor. The best medicine will be to keep those wretched nephews away. I will do anything
Not
to...
Not to worry, Martha, dear. Just get a paper and pencil and let me dictate a letter.
It certainly was good of you to come all this way to look at my husband's stamp.
Oh, I'd travel around the world if I thought there was a chance to purchase a very rare Brattleboro Eagle.
Well, then it really is as valuable as they say?
Oh, very. Very few are known to exist. And I have a potential buyer who's been searching for years.
Martha, would you bring us that folder, please? Now, I haven't promised that I'm ready to sell this stamp.
Oh, by the way, are you any relation to the late George Taylor?
Yes, he was my brother.
We've been wondering what will become of his fine collection.
I'll tell you after you've appraised my stamp. Here. Please examine my Brattleboro Eagle.
A beauty, isn't it? The color has withstood the test of time. And the perforations are good. May I go somewhere where there's better light?
Over here by the window. And if you want to turn on the lamp.
Oh, thank you. It will take a moment with the magnifying glass.
You will sell it, won't you? We could be rich.
Shh, Martha. Wait till we hear what he says.
I don't quite know how to put this.
I'm ready for anything you have to tell me.
Well, everything about it looks so right. The blue and this fleck of white. But on the back, did you happen to turn the stamp over?
Yes, I examined the back, but I've never known enough about
stamps.
Well,
the glue. You see, they didn't use this type of adhesive back when this stamp was issued.
Go on.
And when I held it up to the light, I could tell that no wooden hand press could have possibly...
It was manufactured more recently, was it?
Well, I have yet to give it the watermark test, but... Mr. Taylor, I'm very sorry to say that from everything I've seen so far, your fine Brattleboro Eagle is a remarkable forgery.
Now, there's a surprise and a deep disappointment. But perhaps this is the only way that Morgan Taylor could get his grasping nephews off his back. We would hope that he and Martha can live out the rest of their lives in peace, even if they must scrape along on very little. You might think this is the end of our story. Far from it. I assure you there are still some quite startling developments in store, which we'll come up with shortly in Act 3.
Contact, Cairo Contact, with Gary Christensen, weekdays from 9:30 to 3:30. Keeping you in touch with minute-to-minute news, features, and the music on your mind. That's Contact. You never know just what you'll find on Cairo Contact. Maybe Gary will be sawed in half by a magician, or maybe even a snake charmer named Shiraz and her pet Florida king snake will visit.
Are we going to show our radio audience that lovely little snake in the basket there?
Yes, we're going to take him out now.
He is kind of pretty.
He's beautiful.
He's kind of speckled with a tongue that darts out very quickly and brown stripes on his tum-tum. Can he say a few words to the audience? I guess not.
He breathes heavily. Maybe we can get him to breathe in the mic.
That's Contact. Cairo Contact with Gary Christensen. Weekdays from 9:30 to 3:30. Keeping you in touch with your world here on Cairo News Radio 7.
Yeah, I would have liked the show with the snake, but what do I know?
No, about snakes, not much. Heavy breathing, I don't know, but...
yes. A heavily breathing snake sounds kind of odd.
And has Dave gone off to the show?
I believe he has. He shuffled off to see a show, and he's accompanied by his partner Mike Mace from Spaceship One, and some weirdness, really bad movie. Mike's been in a lot of those. A couple of good ones I remember seeing. Ghosts on the Loose, and the skits were all about goats on the loose. Mike hired goats because he lives out in the country, and you know you can hire goats to clear your property. Seriously, they will eat all the underbrush and stuff. Goats will clear your scrub brush. Yeah.
Talk about entrepreneurship. Okay.
Yeah. Hey, gotta make money where you can, especially out here in the country.
Okay. You mean out near Parma?
Oh, I wasn't ready. Scar does this to me all the time. I'm sorry, I didn't quite hear you, dear. You said something. You had mentioned some geological location?
Yes, latitude, longitude, Parma.
Here we go. A little accordion and a whatever. What is that, a bazooki? I don't know what he's playing there. That's probably a saxophone. I was adopted by a Polish family. Let me tell you, I heard a lot of weddings with this stuff. A lot of beer, a lot of White Sox, and kielbasa.
Man, what the heck is a kiszka? Is that a punchki, or is that a thingamabob, or?
I think it's a meat. It's like a sausage thing, if I'm not mistaken. Spelled K-I-S-H-K-A. At least in English, it's spelled that way. Kishka. Kishka.
Okay, yeah. Then they really must have been hungry to go all that way to Cuba Kishka.
There you go. Such a Cleveland thing. You adapted to that very quickly. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Not at all. Not at all. Yes, yes. It's akin to an alien invasion. You either adapt or you don't.
Yes. Well, hey, you're one of us. One of us. Google gobble. Google gobble.
Google gobble. One of us. Oh, and if I may, give a shout out through cyberspace. Happy, many happy returns of the day to the one, the only, the queen of evil, the mistress of the dark herself, Cassandra Peterson, is the 70.
A very young 70.
Absolutely. I don't know what she has. No kidding. I don't know what she has, but she needs to sell it.
Yeah, or at least lease it out. But I digress.
I have to get choked on a quiche.
Sorry, I didn't mean to choke you up there. Wow. My. The greatest thing for me, especially as a young kid going to school, was getting someone, if you could make someone laugh so hard they passed a ho-ho through their nose, that was a successful day for me. Yeah. Tells you what kind of kid I was in school.
Apparently. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah. That was a good day. You knew you were on your comic game when you could make them pass food through their nose from laughing so hard. You had to time it, of course, when they take a big bite of something. Timing is everything.
I guess so. Try explaining that to the school nurse. No, I swear, I wasn't snorting hoes.
Yeah. Hoes and baloney. Oh, the kids, the things kids do, huh? And these two kids are a couple of weasels here trying to get that stamp money.
Yeah, that puts the F in family, doesn't it?
Yeah, kind of reminds me of mine a whole lot, a whole lot. A whole lot.
No kidding, that's Ebenezer and Ebenezer Scrooge's great-great-great-great-great-et-ceteras now. Talk about
yep.
Misers.
Thanks so much for co-hosting again today. That's two weekends in a row. Wow. It'd be like
yeah.
a thing almost. So we want to thank Fogsbane and Linda Liu, good old Bob, for joining us live in the chat.
Indeed, indeed. And to everybody who will be downloading and listening somewhere in cyberspace, many thanks, of course. I'm just the ad hoc replacement for Dave. No one can ever replace Dave, but I can certainly usurp him.
That's right. Keep up the good work. No. We can't run around Daveless for too long. But the man deserves a night off.
Indeed. So I hope he has fun at the show and comes back with interesting tales to tell.
Yep, and we'll hear about that next week when he comes back. And let's go ahead and wrap up Stamp for Death. Maybe we can squeeze in some bonus material. What do you think, CW?
Perhaps. There is that chance.
All right, onward and forward with Stamped for Death. We'll be back.
Perhaps Morgan Taylor knew more about stamps all along. It would seem his brother had played a cruel joke, leaving him nothing but a worthless forgery. The valuable stamps in that collection are lost forever, and Morgan, who now knows he does not have long to live, is worried not about his own future, but about his wife.
I'm sorry, Mother. If it had worked out differently, I would have put it all in your name.
Oh, now, don't you worry about me. All we both must do is to help you get well, the doctor said.
I know what the doctor said. And I can read between the lines.
Now, Morgan, you're overwrought. But you can be sure we'll hear no more from your nephews once they know the truth about your magnificent inheritance.
That's just it, Mother. I don't want them to know.
What? Oh. Oh, my dear husband. I should have guessed that you'd keep on playing the game.
If that's what you call it, a game. Will you play it with me?
We've always been partners. I'll do anything you say.
Then promise me that as long as I live, my nephews will never know that my grand inheritance was nothing but a scrap of worthless paper.
We've come to apologize, Aunt Martha.
I guess that plane wreck really cracked us up for a while.
First there was Dad's death, and
oh,
then...
Oh, your uncle and I understand. You boys have been through a great deal.
How is Uncle Morgan?
Well, I'm afraid he's not well. These past weeks have taken their toll. He must be kept very quiet.
Well, may we see him?
Oh, I think not.
Oh, honestly, Aunt Martha, we just want to tell him how sorry we are.
Well, just for a minute. But only if you talk about cheerful things.
Uncle Morgan?
Is that you, George?
No, I'm George's son, Gordon.
I always wondered, George, why you didn't come to see me. But now, after all these years...
Hi, Uncle Morgan. It's me, Jeremy.
Come closer, George. Let me get a good look at you.
He's in bad shape. Boy, this is hopeless.
You think I fooled the mother?
You came close to fooling me.
I'm deeply concerned.
No, you mustn't be.
I may have gotten even with Gordon and Jeremy, but there's no reason for them to take it out on you.
No, they never will.
But when I'm gone...
Shh. Morgan, why don't we burn the forged stamp?
I have a much better solution.
What have you done with it?
Open the drawer in the bedside table and take out that envelope.
Yes, Morgan?
I want you to take that envelope right now and put it in the corner mailbox.
Anything you say.
Look at it. Look at the address.
Morgan, you've addressed it to the Dead Letter Office?
Well, that's exactly where it belongs. The Dead Letter Office.
What's our next move, Jerry?
That all depends. Plan A or Plan B?
But they've taken the old man to the hospital. That makes a difference. He can't have long to live.
Don't you believe it. He may be soft in the head, but he can go on for years and years with good nursing care.
Hey, hello. Yes? Yes. My brother and I? We're the only relatives. That's right. We'll be right there.
If that's who I think it was...
Grove Street Hospital. Dr. Miller wants us to go there at once.
Things are happening sooner than we thought.
I'm Dr. Miller. Your name is Taylor?
Oh, that's right. You've called us here because of our uncle?
Why, no. It's about Mrs. Taylor, your aunt.
Aunt Martha asked you to call us. We knew Uncle Morgan was in the hospital.
But they're both here. Mrs. Taylor was brought in this morning with a coronary.
Aunt Martha? How is she?
Resting comfortably at the moment, but I felt it wise to notify the next of kin.
Of course, you did the right thing.
I'll take you to her room.
Hello, Gordon. Jeremy? Nice of you to come.
Well, we only just
Aunt
heard...
Martha, this is no place for you. You're looking much too healthy.
Oh, you'll soon be out of here.
Well, I hope Uncle Morgan and I both will.
Aunt Martha, after all that's gone on, Jerry and I have been doing a lot of thinking, and, well, we'd like to...
We'd like to really be members of the family.
Morgan and I have always been quite self-sufficient.
Of course. But since he's been so ill and all...
We have a plan we'd like to tell you about.
Go on.
Well, the woman who lives in Dad's old house, well, it's much too big for her, and, well, we understand she's looking for a couple to share it.
You're suggesting that
Your uncle and I?
You see, Aunt Martha, this woman's a nurse, and she could help you take care of Uncle Morgan.
Well, I must say that's very interesting.
Do you like the idea?
It's incredible. Wait till Morgan hears about this.
Of course, you would be the one to decide.
Oh, no, indeed. I never do anything without your uncle's full agreement.
Oh, he's in no condition to make any...
Of course he is.
But last time he...
Quite wrong if you think your uncle is incapable of making decisions. Go and ask him.
But Aunt Martha...
Go on. Discuss this unusual scheme with your Uncle Morgan. He's in room 302. And give him my love.
Is ridiculous. If the old boy's in as bad shape as he was last time...
Hold on. If he doesn't know what he's saying, maybe we can talk him into anything.
Oh, there you are. I was coming to get you.
Doctor, we're looking for Uncle Morgan's room.
I regret to inform you that your uncle is dead.
Oh. Well, that's unhappy news, but you must agree, Doctor, it was not unexpected.
Very true. Morgan Taylor was a fine man. I've known him for many years.
Should we go back to be with Aunt Martha?
Well, I wouldn't if I were you. Let me be the one to tell her. You can come back later.
Well, we have clear sailing.
That's what you think.
Well, of course we do. Aunt Martha has nowhere else to turn.
You mean we're stuck with her?
Well, stuck is hardly the word after what I found out.
You've been doing something behind my back. I wondered why you were so agreeable.
I've simply been using my time to learn more about rare stamps.
You got hold of it?
No, but I've discovered that the Brattleboro Eagle is one of the most sought-after stamps in the world.
Worth how much?
At least $200,000.
Why, Aunt Martha's rich.
Certainly, and when I give her all the details, she'll sell.
I won't leave her alone with you for 1 minute.
Didn't think you would, but we can't spring this on her right away.
Why not?
Diplomacy, you fool. We must treat her very gently.
All right. I'm the eldest. I'll take care of the funeral arrangements for Uncle Morgan. Flowers, telephone calls, all that sort of thing.
Yeah, but first, we must get to the hospital and give Aunt Martha our deepest sympathy.
We're here to see Mrs. Morgan Taylor.
Never mind, nurse. I'll speak to them. I'm glad you're here.
Well, is it all right to see Aunt Martha now?
Come down here where we can be alone. I've been trying to reach you.
Well, I know there are things to be taken care of, and I'm quite ready to accept all the responsibility.
Sit down, please.
Well, how is Aunt Martha?
I have seldom known a more devoted couple than your aunt and uncle.
Oh, I know, and I'm sure Aunt Martha is going to need
it's
all...
It's strange, or perhaps it isn't, how often this sort of thing happens.
Well, our parents were that way, sort of as if one always knew what the other was thinking.
Well, then you'll be better prepared for what I have to tell you.
Just let me talk to Aunt Martha. I realize, Doctor, that she has no family of her own.
When I told her of your uncle's death, she took it very calmly. Of course, she knew how ill he was.
Well, he was an old man. He couldn't go on forever.
But without him, you see...
No, don't worry, Doctor. I've made up my mind to take good care of her.
I gave her a sedative.
Do you think it's worn off by now?
When I looked in on her later, she was gone.
What? She left the hospital?
Within an hour of your uncle's death, your aunt died peacefully in her sleep.
I'm glad you took full responsibility. That lets me off the hook.
Not now. The whole situation has changed.
Oh, no, it hasn't. You're the older brother, and you asked for it. Go on, do your duty. Oh,
please, Jerry.
The lawyer said that's enough cash to cover a decent burial.
But the will says we share and share alike.
Share what? Nothing but bills and a mortgage.
Well, I'm putting their house up for sale.
You can't until we find the stamp.
You're the expert. Go through that collection again. It must be there.
It's not. Nothing but some U.S. commemoratives. Maybe a couple of $100 worth.
I'll sell them.
I think the Brattleboro may be in a safe deposit box.
Then where's the key?
Oh, no use. I've looked in every one of those drawers.
Well, what did the lawyer have to say?
He knows nothing. He says he never even met Uncle Morgan.
Do you believe him?
As much as you do.
Well... I've been through the closet, every pocket.
Hey, the books! What if he put the stamp between the pages of one of those books?
I'll stay here until I go through each one of them.
And maybe there's a safe behind one of these walls.
I'll tear down this house if I have to.
No. You have to get back to your family. I'll stay on here and see what I can do.
I'm not leaving here until I find it.
Not if I find it first.
Good luck, boys. We know that no amount of luck in the world is going to help you find that stamp. Retribution? Perhaps. In payment for an insatiable greed. Not everyone earns his own way in this world, but if you depend upon someone else to make your way easier, you may be in for an unhappy awakening. I'll be back shortly.
The 1977 Buick Regal. It comes with Buick's terrific V6 engine. It carries six people and lots of Buick comfort. It's lean, it's maneuverable in city traffic. It's the most luxurious mid-sized car Buick builds. Yeah, this new Regal is pretty much everything a car should be, except for one thing. It isn't yours yet, but it can be. Just see your Buick dealer for a test drive. Soon.
I'm Betsy Palmer speaking for CHEAR, C-H-E-A-R, Children's Hearing Education and Research. About 20 million Americans, 1 in 10, have a hearing disability. Hearing loss is silent and invisible. It's one of America's top 5 medical problems. CHEAR urgently needs your support for medical research to solve the serious problems caused by deafness. Help now. For information, please write to CHEAR, C-H-E-A-R, A Voice for the Hearing Impaired, P.O. Box 362, Yonkers, New York, 10704. Thank you.
One of the mistakes the brothers Taylor made was writing their uncle off as a man too old to know what he was doing. Morgan Taylor knew exactly what he was up to, all the way, and so did his lifetime partner. What a pair of senior citizens. One unanswered question. Did George Taylor really know the stamp he willed his brother was worthless? And if so, what did he mean when he said that Morgan would know what to do with it? I leave you to reach your own conclusions. Our cast included Lloyd Batista, Robert Dryden, Russell Horton, and Ann Petoniak. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
You hadn't said a word all the way home.
No. But I haven't been sleeping. I've been thinking.
Oh, dearest, I wish I'd known how to tell you all this differently.
Oh, my, what's that?
We better get over to the curb fire engines.
I wonder where they're going.
Hey, look. They're turning the corner, going down the block.
Eric? What? Eric, it's our house.
Oh,
our house is on fire. It's in flames.
Well, how did it happen?
I don't know. Our house is burning, Eric.
Where are you going?
My papers. All my work. I can't let them burn. I can't let them be destroyed.
No, you can't go in there.
My personal papers. Eric, I have to save them.
You stay here. Stay, I said.
Oh, no, Eric, don't you go. No. You'll be killed. Oh, somebody stop him. Stop him.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Contact, the 12-hour cold capsule. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
Everybody, I'm Wayne Cody with Husky Flashback, brought to you by Fidelity Mutual Savings Bank. The Husky with the most career rebounds is forward Doug McClary. Doug's best memory, the people he played with. And his worst memory, losing the regional championship to UCLA in 52. And then having to watch the national championships played in Seattle. Doug's been in lumber industry management for 20 years and works for Weyerhaeuser in Wisconsin, where his 2 6-foot-tall daughters are high school basketball stars. Husky Flashback, looking at rebounder Doug McClary.
There are cheaper breads, but they're not always as fresh and soft the way kids like bread.
When you send a lunch to school, make this the daily rule. Send Rondo.
Kids eat it up.
That's right. Stamped for death. I like that guy's sense of humor.
Absolutely. Very just desserts for those 2 undeserving siblings.
Oh, scamps. That'd be fun to play a practical joke after you're dead. Oh, my God, that's the greatest thing ever. I got to start planning.
Oh, wow. No kidding. Let's see.
That's
an entrepreneur idea. You want to get them after you're gone? Come to us at afteryouredead.com. We'll get them the way only the dead can get them.
And not only that. God. Everyone run and hide. There's Erie House. Really, really, really resents Dale's feeble attempt at a moral of the story. When it comes to collectibles, they're not worth a thing until the moment that you sell them. Did you see those spaceships a crashing?
And heads exploding.
Yeah, oh yeah, the thing, the jelly inside the fishbowl. That movie was the greatest thing ever, and brings back a lot of memories. It was based on these Topps, I guess we would call them trading cards now. When I was a kid, everything was bubblegum cards. You know, whether they were sports cards or non-sports cards, we called them bubblegum cards. Why? Because you got gum with them.
Logical.
And that bubblegum had a particular taste. You know, there was nothing else quite like it. There were other pink chewing gums of various types, but there was nothing quite like the gum in trading cards.
Well, I can't believe in that movie is all the stars that they got. They got Jack Nicholson. They got Rod Steiger.
Yeah.
Pierce Brosnan, Sarah Jessica Parker. It just went on.
Michael
and on
J. Fox,
and on.
Christina Applegate, Jack Black.
Oh my God, Tom Jones.
Tom Jones was in it. Yeah, Jim Brown. Oh God,
Jim
who
Brown.
Else?
Oh, Pamela Greer. Pam Greer.
Danny DeVito.
Absolutely, it's just wild.
Yeah, tons of cameos and just a great. Obviously, Tim Burton was a fan of those old cards. It follows the story pretty well. What the cards were just a series of art that told the story of an invasion from space with these brain-headed aliens that looked very much like the guys from the movie, or I should say the guys from the movie looked very much like the cards, because those are from the early 60s. And I actually met a fella who, and this was weird too, get this. I would go, you know, door to door and knock on these kids' doors. You got any old comic books you don't want anymore? I'll buy them off you, you know. And I'd ride home with my basket, whatever. This one guy invites me into his house. Now, that could have been the last of me. But no. He was a regular family guy. He was sitting down to dinner with his family. And he just was tickled that somebody else was that excited about comic books. His family was like, yeah, whatever. And he was showing me stuff. And actually, he took me to my first comic book convention. Surprised
wow.
My parents let me go. Yeah. Yep, went downtown. But he was there was nothing funny, nothing weird.
Well, that's good to hear.
Except, yeah, really.
Yeah, no kidding. Oh, my God.
It could have been the last of me found me under a bridge, you know. But
put you on a milk carton?
I don't know. I was a pretty fast kid those days. I mean, if somebody would have tried something, I'd have been pretty hard to catch. You know the neighborhood and all the back alleys and stuff like that? Yeah, no.
But
I turned into a Jack Rabbit.
You.
Yep.
Jack Rabbit, yeah. Any music, perchance?
Why, yes, we do.
I have a weak nickel.
Okay, well, all right. If you would put it into the jukebox, we will play a little tunes for the folks, a few tunes for the folks.
Absolutely made out of the finest California redwood. Here we go. And plunk.
Redwood. Scrolling as fast as I can go.
Now we'd like you to meet once more one of the finest young trumpet players in the country. Leonard Soos playing the number he made famous, Steam on the Beat.
Leonard Soos, probably also known as the Doctor. Hey, it's two for a nickel.
Mm-hmm. stuff in your cup. You can't get stuff in your cup. You can't get stuff in your cup. 'Cause you got no cup to get stuff in. You can't get a crease in your pleats. You can't get a crease in your pleats. You can't get a crease in your pleats. 'Cause you got no pleats to get the crease in. No more zoot suits, no more reed pleats, no more nothing. Right soon there's going to be not much meat and little mutton. Now you can't get stuff in your cup. You can't get stuff in your cup. You can't get stuff in your cup. 'Cause you got no cup to get stuff in. In your cup. You can't get stuff in your cup. You can't get stuff in your cup. 'Cause you got no cup. So you can't get stuff. Oh, you got no cup to get stuff in.
Nothing sadder than stuffless cuffs. Or cuffless stuffs. It's me, DLK, here along with CW. I think she's still with us. Now, let me double pump that microphone and see if that's not the problem. Yeah. Here we go.
Oh, there you are.
Ah, wait a second. You'll be back in a minute. Thought the problem was
there
my end.
Am.
I shut you off and put you back on. There we go. All right. They can't get stuff in your cuff if you got no cuffs to put stuff in.
No, I thought it was my dollar store microphone.
Dollar store? Okay.
No, seriously, this was purchased at the dollar store. $1 for this contrivance.
It's still a step above the technology that Blog Talk uses. But I digress. Nah, they can't be that bad. I've been using them for, God, it's like 10 years now. Holy cow.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, pretty close to it. I've been doing this for 5 years with Dave, and I think it was 4 years with my previous partner. And it's quite a run.
I don't know if you get the dollar store sponsor the dollar store. The dollar store where your crap actually does function.
Yep. Yep, 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 yep. There's one on every corner. We have Dollar General out here, it's called.
We have so many different kinds of dollar stores around here. Dollar this, dollar that, dollar bush, dollar shrub, dollar lieutenant, dollar...
Dollar shrub. We have a dollar tree. Dollar shrub. Shrub.
Just wanted to make sure you're listening.
Yep, you got me on that one. But going to have some fun next week with wills. Where there's a will, there's a way. You know, like your last will and testament. So you can imagine there's more crime and intrigue coming up next weekend.
Not to mention unmitigated blind greed.
Yes, and it's the last weekend of September. You know what that means? Getting warmed up for Halloween.
Yeah.
I'm going to throw you a hint on one of the nights. We will feature one of the kings of horror. Now, you have to figure out what that means.
All right. So many.
Yes, exactly. Many kings of horror. We are going to feature one of them on one of the nights, and there will be eerie houses to aplenty, aplenty. Tonight at 8 o'clock, right after we're done here, it's Gar the Ghoul, Horrible Horror starring Gar the Ghoul, on them their Twitches.
That's Twitch TV.
Yep.
Or is it Twitch.com? Or Twitch TV.
Yeah, you can go on their Facebooker thingies and check him out. He's got a link there to go on and check out his show on Twitch.
Indeed, indeed.
He told me last night what he's hosting, and I forgot. I'm terribly sorry. I'm a bad man.
Ernest Borgnine meets Ernest Borgnine the 7th.
And they grow a tail. I think that's
indeed.
It. I think that's it.
Yes. Directed by Ernest Borgnine. Written by Ernest Borgnine. Directed and starring Ernest Borgnine with Ernest Borgnine as the co-host.
Ernest Borgnine, courtesy of Mr. and Mrs. Borgnine. As far as we know.
And there we are.
We need a little cool background music. I found these guys. I've been using them for my horror host show. Of course, I haven't made one for 3 years. But they're called the Original Onions, and they're from Northeast Ohio area. And I reached out to them, and they're like, yeah, use our music, whatever. I don't think it's copyrighted anyway, and that's just like, it's great for studio background music. I love
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. Very tasty tunes. Very tasty tunes.
Yep, and then Dave was inspired by Gar last night. He thought we would have a Joy Buzzer weekend. Not exactly, but Dave did come up with a Practical Joke weekend. So who knows? Maybe we'll save that for April the 1st, if indeed April the 1st is a weekend upcoming.
Absolutely so. Everyone bring your whoopee cushions and your Joy Buzzers.
There you go.
And your neck ticklers and all that sort of thing.
I almost thought you said something else.
I don't know what it sounded like, but if it sounded like
but
something else,
that.
It wasn't.
Just suffice
no,
it to say,
it wasn't
that. What I was thinking. Okay, good enough.
No, and I won't repeat it. So, blame it on the dollar store microphone. It's the dollar store microphone.
I don't know. It's not too bad. You're coming across pretty well, I think. If that is
thank you,
sir. A dollar bush or dollar tree or dollar shrub, dollar stick.
Dollar stick. Or if you're in Colorado, the dollar weed. It's legal there.
I was at our local dollar store when it was shortly after we first moved, so it's been a good 15 or more years. And they had boxes of Quisp cereal. Oh, my God. I couldn't believe it.
Wow.
And, I mean, it was fresh. It wasn't like from the 70s. It's actually an expiration date that was acceptable. So, but yeah, they actually had Quisp cereal. I was like, this is the greatest thing ever. I always love Quisp more than Quake.
I am intrigued. So everyone, get out and go to your dollar store because you'll never know what treasures you'll find. Or just more junk.
Yeah. And it's only a dollar.
A dollar.
That was a great episode of Animaniacs. They went to a dollar store. And they kept asking,
yes.
What does this cost? It's a dollar.
Dollar. Or, as the original RoboCop said, I'll buy that for a dollar.
There you go. You know, I missed out. I am not well-versed at all on any of the RoboCop mythos, if you will.
Oh, yeah, you totally missed out.
Yeah. Well, gang, we will see you Friday at 8 p.m., rather 8:30 But again, coming up in just about 30 or so seconds, it's Gar the Ghoul on Twitch TV as he hosts In Horrible Horror, starring no other than Gar the Ghoul.
The castle lights are growing dim. There's no one left but me and him.
That's a hurry.
When next we meet in Frankenstone, don't come alone.
Oh, that was nice. Nice goodbyes from everybody.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Towards the end, I'm, like, focusing on the clock, and I never get to say a proper goodbye before we close out.
I know. It's so hard with timing this and not worrying when the British lady will chop you off. You are the music link. Goodbye.
She's correct, but the clock in the studio is always, like, off. Today wasn't too bad, though. Today it timed out pretty nice. Everything jogged very
well. Glad I was able to give a hand. This is two. Shock. Oh, my.
Yeah, two shows in two consecutive weeks. It's so much easier. We really do appreciate it, you know, because it could have been me instead of Dave. But it's so much easier to do a show. I think any of the three of us could do one by ourselves, but it's just so much easier when you have other people to bounce off of.
Yeah, I guess so. Unless you're a total egomaniac. Oh, did I say that? Sorry.
There are people like that.
Yeah.
A lot of them talk a lot on the internet. I mean, you notice that on social media? The most narcissistic ones sure talk a lot.
They do. They do indeed. I think the internet is their place to be, where they can just sit there at their table and pound their fist and say what they want. And
that's why I like
meeting
people in person, because people behave differently in person than they do hiding behind, you know, even a telephone or an internet screen, you know, your monitor or your telephone or whatever it is you're communicating on, because, you know, it's different.
It's true. I think they can pretty much get away with anything, which in the end is not quite true. Case in point, that felling that was mentioned, I think Dave mentioned the one who started his own religion.
Yeah. There's karma. There's karma. It comes around.
Karma, or did you say parma?
Oh, God, you got me again. Hey, Twinston. There we go. You gotta have a lot of energy to polka, too. Oh my gosh. That is like an active thing, jumping and hopping.
Especially playing that accordion. I don't know how the first Yankovic did it, Weird Al. Well, he does play the accordion still in his act.
One of the best skits at Big Chuck, one of our local heroes here in the horror host world, played was dueling accordions, because dueling banjos had become big on the radio with the release of the movie Belligerence. Deliverance. Belligerence.
Belligerence.
Deliverance, for God's sake. Anyway, so they did a dueling accordion skit, and it was quite funny.
Oh my gosh, it sounds hilarious.
It's right outside a small certain ethnic bar, you know, little corner dive.
Dive.
Yep.
On YouTube, before he passed away, there is on YouTube the first Yankovic, I can't remember his name, who played the accordion, and of course Weird Al Yankovic, who plays the accordion.
Frankie Yankovic.
Frankie Yankovic, thank you. They found out, first of all, even though they have very unique sounding names and they both played the accordion, they were not related by any way that they could trace.
Yep. No relation at all, but I'm not sure if Weird Al picked that name because, or if that's his actual last name, if he did it because of the accordion.
That is his real birth last name. He's a Yankovic.
That's amazing. Frankie Yankovic is, I think he's from maybe Pennsylvania, not far from here, and that Who Stole the Kishka song is a Frankie Yankovic hit.
Wow. I think Weird Al is from, I can't swear to it unless I look it up again, I think he might be from California. He was a California kid.
Mm-hmm. With a lot of time on his hands, but he used it wisely. Very creative. Very creative young man.
Oh, yes. Listening to Dr. Demento all that time, it worked out well.
I love a good spoof, you know, and a lot of his material was spooky. Spoofy, is that a word?
Oh, my gosh. Spooky, yeah, spoofy. It will be. It'll catch on. If Ginormous caught on, which, by the way, if anyone's listening to this, ginormous is actually a legitimate word in the English language, according to the Oxford English Dictionary, the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, and dictionary.com. Ginormous, gigantic, enormous, it's ginormous, dude, is now a legitimate word in the English language.
So it was a recently added word, I'm assuming.
A few years ago, yeah, because everybody kept slapping the words together. So it's now a real live word.
All right. Well, we'll run with that. Maybe we'll coin a few here. You never know.
Most assuredly. And with that being said, I must be away. And if I could possibly knock on the door with the star for the gentleman with the schnozola to sail us away.
Absolutely. Here he comes, Mr. Jimmy Durant.
Good night. Good night. Good night.
Good night.
It's time to say good night. Good night. Good night.
All right, good evening.
What more to say but good night? We've had a few laughs, and it's time for toodaloo. It's horrible what we think and it could think and do. Good night. Good night. Good night, folks. And good night, Mrs. Calabash, wherever.
Good night, CW. Thanks for coming.
Bye-bye.